I love it. Like yesterday, at about this time, you looked outside, and there was dirt and mud and everything all along the whole. I was talking to one, and the deer tracks and the cat tracks and the dog tracks and the other things. And now, it's clean. It's clean. Just think on this. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be washed whiter than snow. So every time you look at the fresh snow outside, your sins have been washed whiter than that. And that is a testimony to what God has done in your life. And so who loves the snow? Wow, that was a different response. My tie, actually, if you look close enough, you would realize it's not as white as it looks. But the good thing is, the Dawn is probably the only one that possibly can see that stain. Yeah. Yeah. Now you're looking for it, aren't you? Yes. Those who are online, if they have the ability, they're going to zoom in. See if they can find that. And I'm not even going to point it out. Why would I do that? I don't point out my sins. Ooh, hey. Because they were stained. But I'm whiter than snow. What an awesome thing. I love it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We are going to go there today. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to read the entire chapter. From the New American Standard Version. It says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Lord, thank you for this word. And Lord, as we go into it today, may it mean something to each one that is here. And may we be able to sense you and what you are wanting us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. This letter was written by Paul, and it was written to Timothy. And it was a charge to Timothy to do the work of the pastor. That's what he was calling for him to do. And he was ordained by the presbytery. He was anointed by them to do that work. And so Paul is encouraging him in this. And so if you read the entirety of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you'll see Paul's instructions to Timothy as the pastor, as the evangelist, as you'll see later on. And what happens now is in this church, what would be called the presbytery. So you hear this presbytery word and you're wondering, what does that mean? Well, it really is, if you look into it, board of elders. It's a bunch of elders. Some people look at it as the apostles. But in this church, the presbytery is the board of deacons that we have. And so they are the leadership of this church, and they have they have decided that Terrell Pearson, the one playing drums today, the one in the blue suit, he was introducing the service today. You all know him. They have decided that he has fulfilled the requirements as set forth by our overseeing group, which is the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies. They have decided that he has met those requirements for the first level of our ministry certificates, and that is the license to minister. This message is mostly directed to Terrell. However, just like Timothy, the books there were written by Paul to Timothy, but we can take advantage of what was written there. So in that same manner, you can all take advantage to what you hear for Terrell's sake. And then you can apply it to your life in different aspects. So I want to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 4 as well, and verses 1 to 5. It says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So, the part of the pastor. At my ordination back in May of 2001, they spoke on this section of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. Always be ready. And I can tell you, Terrell always has something burning in the background. I always have something burning in the background. I'm sure, Brent, I'm sure you always have something burning that's just all of a sudden like, I got to preach this somewhere. And I know that my father did as well. And it's important that we have that. We're studying the word. We have our morning times. I'm sure of it. I read in the mornings, in the afternoons, in the evenings. Just whenever I get the urge, I'm reading the word. And I know that Terrell does the same thing. We're supposed to be ready in season and out of season. It doesn't matter what the opportunity is. But there's other places in Scripture that tells us when you are talking, encourage someone with the word. In all things, give glory to God. So if you have that already in you, it is so easy in just an everyday conversation to bring up a word that comes from the Bible. And sometimes you don't even know that it actually came from the Bible. You just know it because it's in your heart. And then you speak it, and it ends up encouraging yourself and others. But these sections that I've read to you also talks that we need to be of sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16, it says that we are to be careful for ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves and our teaching or our doctrine so that we can help people. It even says that in so doing, you ensure salvation for both yourself and for those who hear you. If your doctrine is sound when you preach it. So what does that mean? Where do we find our doctrine? We don't find it in the words of men. We find it in the words of God. That's where our doctrine comes from. And no matter who you talk to, myself, Terrell, Brent, anyone that has that preaches, their doctrine is influenced by who they are. Their doctrine is influenced by who they are. Every single person, every person that has ever written a commentary, every person that has ever translated the Bible, every person will put their own feeling, their own what they are, who they are, what they believe, into their words. Every translation of the Bible has that. You can see it because of all the differences that are in the translations of the Bible. So what you need to do, we need to study the Word and prove it for yourself. You've heard me say that all the time. I can talk all I want up here. Terrell can talk all he wants up here. Brent, wherever he preaches. But we cannot force anyone to believe. You have to prove it for yourself that that's what you want to believe. And that's why my favorite saying, and you probably could, some of you at least could repeat it with me, do you really believe that what you believe is really real? We have to determine that in ourselves. Now, we typically will line ourselves up with people who are like thinkers. That's why we have so many different denominations, so many different churches, because there are people who want to line up with those who agree with them. But we need to be sound in doctrine. We need to prove for ourselves what we believe in here. Do you really believe Mark 16, verses 15 to 20, where it says that those who believe, these signs will follow, and then it goes and lists a bunch of them. I was talking to a bunch of pastors this past Wednesday from our area, from Grand Prairie and Fort St. John, Fort McMurray, and other places, Manning, because I was there. And we were talking about this, and I looked at it. I was saying, what do I believe? Because when I went through my cocoon, as I called it, back in 2012 or 2011, I was wondering, what do I believe? Because those words in Mark chapter 16 says that they will speak in tongues. I do that. Yep, that works. They will cast out demons. Nope, that didn't happen anytime at that point. They will pick up snakes, and it won't harm them. Nope. They will eat poison, and it won't affect them. Well, depending on where you think I've eaten, maybe. And they will lay their hands upon the sick, and they will recover. Well, that might have happened a couple times. So if those signs are to follow those who believe, do I really believe? The cocoon happened. So then I started going through the Word. And I started to realize what is available to the believer, to those who are called the sons of God. That all of creation, according to Romans 8:19, is saying, all of creation is longing to see the sons of God be revealed. Well, am I a son of God? Yes. How am I going to be revealed? By the fact that I believe and these signs follow. Do you see the logic there? I hope you do. Now the question is, do you really believe that what you believe is really real? So now you can go into your Bible and you can see what the translators have written in that section. I have one Bible in my office that I used to use all the time in my preaching and have since retired it because of different reasons. One of them being this statement that said on Mark 16. It says, these verses were not necessarily from the earliest of manuscripts, and therefore you cannot base your beliefs on these scriptures, especially the speaking in tongues. Bible closed, it has sat on my shelf ever since. Because I believe, and I speak in tongues. So those scriptures should be real to me. But I also believe, and I also should see, demons cast out. Now I have. I should see the people being recovered as I lay my hands upon them. And I have seen that more and more. And now I desire for it more and more. And more and more. Why? Because I decided in myself that I want to believe this stuff. So now I go to the Word and I study to find out, why do I want to believe this stuff, and is it sound doctrine? And that's the process that I use when I'm coming up here to preach. I don't preach things up here because I heard them from someone else. Now, sometimes it started because I heard it from someone else, but it comes because I study the Word. So when it says, preach the Word and use sound doctrine, that means I need to preach the Word and make sure that I have studied it first. And if I study it, I don't go to the Word and say, okay, God, give me a new revelation today. No. But I am open to Him giving me new revelation. How many of you had read the Bible and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, that's different? Even though you may have been reading the Bible for your entire life, and then all of a sudden at that moment, you see it differently. Guess what? That's the Spirit working in you and saying, hey, what about this? And the Bible tells us that we are supposed to grow in our faith. So in order to grow in our faith, we need to, just like the bugs, you know how they break off their exoskeleton and come out bigger? And it's so disgusting to watch on those science channels? But that's what we are supposed to be. The Bible says, it says that we are to be transformed. The word being metamorpho, from Greek, which we get metamorphosis, which is the caterpillar changing into the butterfly. That's not just about salvation. It's about our faith walk, that our faith is to continually grow. But we need to make sure that it's sound doctrine by studying this word. And then the next point in these scriptures is that, Terrell, fulfill your ministry. You are not here to fulfill my ministry. You're not here to fulfill your dad's ministry. You're not here to fill anybody else's except yours. So you need to seek after God and find out what He wants for you. It is yours. In the Bible here, it says, fulfill your calling as an evangelist. And some people have taken this to mean that everybody is supposed to be evangelists. But Paul was writing it to Timothy. He was saying, Timothy, you are to do the work of the evangelist. But Paul, even though he was an evangelist, he was mostly the role of the apostle. And so his job was to train up others into what they were supposed to do. Timothy, he was called as a pastor, and that included being the part of the evangelist for Timothy. Every single person that walks on this earth has a calling on their lives. And it's up to you to find out what that is and to fulfill it. So then, in regards to the leadership in the church, so for those who are usually the ones that are preaching and stuff like that, we go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to read verses 11 to 16 first, but then I want to go back to verses 1 to 6. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So the point of the people up here is either pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Now, I don't know, those of you who were with us when we first came to Manning up at the temple, this was the mission statement that we started out with when I started out there. These verses, and it's always been a call of mine to show unity in the body of Christ, which is the point of the fivefold influences of Christ. It's to build up the body of Christ to full maturity in unity. And what does that mean? Well, we've been in this Power of One series that we've been doing for the last while, and I took it from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, and it says this: Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And that is what we are striving for. And that is the point of the five influences of Christ: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And so Terrell, you need to find out where you fit in that. I know I have to tell you, it changes. There will be times. I was a worship pastor. Was I part of this fivefold? I don't know at that point, but at one point, I was called into that office of pastor. And I know that that will change because of how God grows us in our work. Now, that will always be there influencing. My dad, he was pastoring a church, but his calling was that of evangelist. And he did. He was out on the streets continually preaching to people, enticing them, encouraging them to follow Christ. We need to use the influences of Christ, these fivefold, to help the church grow to full maturity. So the question is, when is it accomplished? When does it end? It doesn't. It's always going to be there. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Paul says this: If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. Woe is me. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. It's a life calling. I do this because this is what I am compelled to do. This is all I'm compelled to do. The people may not accept what you say. They may ridicule you. But if you know that you know that you know your calling, and you stay true what God has called you to do, it doesn't matter what they think or how they react. You fulfill your calling, your ministry. Preach the word with sound doctrine. Preach the word to see maturity in the body of Christ. my dad, when he heard of someone wanting to go into the ministry, he would tell them what it really is like. It's not the glory of standing up in the front and talking and being able to compel people to do things. That's part of it. It's not about seeing people saved and seeing people healed. Those are wonderful things, and that's amazing when you get to see it. But the grind of being a pastor is so trying. And only the right people who are called to it can be it. And so Dad would tell them the realities of being a pastor. For those of you who follow me on Facebook at all, if you would have read that article, which was posted by my aunt at a timely point, I shared that. That is the reality of being a pastor. And if at the end of hearing all those things, of all the troubles and all the problems and how it really can be, if they still felt that calling, then he supported them 100% and even more. And he would push them to do it. And he has. There are many that are in the ministry today because of my dad's support. He didn't have to tell me much of what went on in a pastor's life, because I got to experience it with him. But still, the calling of God is so strong. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And it is strong. And I, for one, have not pulled any punches when it came to telling Terrell what ministry is like. And he still is saying, yes. And he says the same, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. So I support him 100% and more in his calling. You must stay true to 1 Timothy 4:16, which we already have read. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. A lot of people will tell you, Terrell, oh, we just want encouragement. We just want to be in love. We just want to be exhorted. But there's those other two words there that makes it a little bit more difficult. Reprove and rebuke. But it's part of the calling. Stay true to those who are a part of this congregation, to those who will sit under the ministry. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. I don't have enough markers in my Bible. I need more ribbons. Hebrews 13, 17 and 18. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. And then better yet, the next three words. Pray for us. Pray for us. I have to give account for 60 souls today, approximately. Every word that I speak, I have to give account for your soul, let alone mine. I didn't want this to be a woe is me message. Except for, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. But you have a part to play in that too. You have a part to play. So now, Terrell, if what I have said resonates with you and it quickens your spirit, if you agree to continue in the calling that you testify yourself to, would you please come and join me up front? And because the calling on one's life affects the family, would Charmin please come and join me and Terrell representing your family? The family is a part of it, but the family is not called to the ministry. The family is a part of it, though, because what happens to me affects them. And so with Charmin and with the kids, don't count on them to do the work of the ministry. Accept what they are called to do in this church. Just like everyone else in this place is called to do something in this church. But it's not, you are not called for this position. My mom can testify, and I could almost guarantee that every pastor's wife can testify, that there are unspoken requirements of a pastor's wife. Two words for you. Stop it. My wife was called to be an occupational therapist. Charmin was called to be a bookkeeper and a mother. Jen was called to be a mother as well, but but we have two drivers in the house and one's in college, etc. It's like, but you understand what I'm saying? She doesn't know everything that's going on in the church because I don't tell her everything that's going on in the church. Why? She's not the pastor. She knows a lot of things that are going on in the church. Why? Because I need someone to talk to. That's all I'm going to say about that. Hopefully that's okay. The Fellowship of Christian Assembly has two levels of ministry certification. The first being a license to minister. The second being ordination. Please don't ask me what the difference is. However, the first level is it. The requirements are a definite calling in the ministry, which we have proven and we have talked to and testified to. The second is that there needs to be some study, personal biblical study, either being 2 years of Bible college and or self-study. Terrell is enrolled in the School of Ministry from United with Christ and has been since September. He will be graduating this May. And the other things that he's done here through the past few years, he's been in the office there at least since 2017, I think, and he's been doing some preaching since then. He's done his study work, and so the board has said, yes, that qualifies under the stipulations that are there. The second level, it just adds more years to that. I believe it's 4 or 5 years of study. We'll deal with that when we get there. But the license to ministry is what is being conveyed onto Terrell at this point. There was something else I was going to say there, but obviously it's gone. So, hey, we're not going to do that. If it comes to me, maybe it'll come up. So, Terrell, we here at Manning Family Worship Center, we recognize the call of God on you and your ministry that is going to be here. And so on behalf of the leadership team of this church and the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies, we confer upon you a license to minister, which is sealed within this envelope, because I didn't want anyone to deface it, including me, because I like to doodle. So inside there, you can open it later. You don't have to open it now. We do confer this upon you, the license to minister. So congratulations. and God bless you richly. I'd like to call the board members to please join me in anointing Terrell. Please come up, those of you that are here. I'd also like to call the rest of you once the board gets up here. If you would like to come up front to lay hands on Terrell and Charmin, please come on up. And then everyone else, if you are, that you can join in. Either stretch out your hand and whatever, however you feel to do so, please let us pray. Okay, go ahead. Anyone else? Would you stand? Father God, we anoint Terrell right now. You have already called him. You have already ordained him for this calling. And now we recognize that and we pray, God, your rich blessings upon him. That he will preach the word. That he will not be worried about what others think, how they react. But that, Lord, he will only speak those words that you have called him to do so. And Lord, as he speaks, encourage him. Bring forward people who will be with him and hold him up. Lift his arms like Moses had. And Lord, I just pray that he will have a quickening of his mind, that everything within him will call forth the words of God, and he will be strong in them. And that, Lord God, he will do the work that he is called to do. And so now, Terrell, I bless you because I recognize within you that you have a gift from God. I bless you with the favor of Joseph so that everything you place your hands to will prosper. I bless you with the faith of Abraham so that you will be, may be fully persuaded that what you have promised you are able to do. I bless you with the courage of David so that you may slay the giants in your life. I bless you with the wisdom of Solomon, for happy is the one who finds it. I bless you with the love of Jesus so that you may have a servant's heart. Finally, I bless you with the passion of Paul so that you may seek to know nothing other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Terrell, do you have any words? Do you want to speak? You don't have to? Okay. Yeah, go ahead and sit down.
Okay, it is going to come out in English. I was worried there. My tongue was going nuts. Corey talked about my ministry specifically, and when God, I've shared this before, but when God called me back to Manny in 2012, he did call me to Manny, not to this church, not to sit in a church. And so I've always made it my goal to try and help people in the community and not distinguish between those sitting in chairs on Sunday and those out in the community. And God gave me a real gift. I don't think gift's the right word, but a desire, there we go, to help people. It fulfills me so much to help someone else meet their goals and meet their needs. And I don't like the spotlight. This is very uncomfortable for me. But I've never desired to be on the world stage preaching to millions and millions of people. But if I can help someone get to that level, that's what I want. So I stand here and just ask you guys, how can I help? How can I help? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're all a very real blessing to me.
Amen. I encourage everyone, pray for Terrell, pray for Charmin. There are things that have been happening. Let's be real here. His benefits at the mill as his long-term disability ended on Friday. He's not sure what he's doing. He's still talking with the mill to figure that all out. However, I am going to implore you as a church. Terrell is longing to go down to New York, to Binghamton, New York, for the graduation of the School of Ministry. And I ask you, if you can, to help him in that. If you can, we cannot do it through the church as a tax or write-off or anything like that, but you can personally bless him. And if you have that in your heart, please don't do it if it's not in your heart. But if it's in your heart to bless him and Charmin, it would cost approximately $4,000 for the two of them to go down there with everything included. I'm sure that the church would help in some way as well. I haven't talked to the board about it, except we just mentioned it on this past Thursday. But I would encourage you, bless them, so that he can experience this graduation from what he has put into the work with it. But with that, I just encourage you, pray for him. There is cupcakes in the foyer for everyone to grab and feast on. There's 75 there, so you can have at least one and a 75th. I don't know. Just go ahead and if you can have an opportunity, Terrell, you can go to the back and let people love on you.